Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. Quarter number three here. Ask Dustin is the segment coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Greg Pickle not here, so I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. Jim Galante here with me as well. He'll be asking the questions from you guys to me. I get to choose the winner this week. The best question, as always, gets a Keystone Sports Network polo. And I'm wearing one right now, as a matter of fact. I know I said I didn't have one before.
Oh, you look good in it too, Dustin.
Buttery smooth in this thing. If it can make me look good, it can make you look good. So if you don't have the Keystone Sports app, go download it. Click the Ask Greg button. Occasionally, you'll get me. But click the Ask Greg button. Fire off your questions. Super easy. And give yourself a shot to get one of these polo shirts. So with that said, I'm going to turn it over to you, Jim. And I want to hear what the questions are this week coming out of the Cotton Bowl, Penn State 11-2. I'm curious where people's heads are at.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you a double question to start. This is Steve from Huntington Valley and Brad from Doylestown. It's pretty much the same question, so I'll give them both credit. Steve asked, did Journey Brown earn himself some NFL money on Saturday, and is he suddenly now a Nittany Lion with a decision to make? And Brad asked, with Journey Brown's bowl game and speed, should he consider going pro?
Wow. Okay. So, you know, he's a redshirt sophomore, so he's eligible. I don't know that we've got a big enough body of work on film to suggest that he's leave after a redshirt sophomore season for the pros. However, if you look at the core, his physical tools and what he's got and what we saw get polished up as the year goes on, and really that goes back to the winter and the spring too, the improvements that he's made. You knew for sure long speed. He's a champion sprinter. You know, you get him in the open field, it's going to be hard for anybody to run him down. So you knew that. What you weren't as sure about were some of the nuances of the position. You know, it's a guy who, coming from Meadville High School, was not highly recruited. I think Syracuse and Temple might have been the only other Division I offers. He had high Division I offers. He had. He was kind of nestled away in a part of the state that doesn't get a lot of recruiting buzz. But you combine that speed with, you know, his production on the field, and, you know, you look back and it feels like it should have been a no-brainer, but I think for other reasons off the field or academics or whatever the case was, wasn't that highly recruited. So fast forward to today, and you've seen him pick up a lot of the nuances of the position. And what I think you saw in the Cotton Bowl was another level of physicality, another level of violence in the way that he ran. I mean, he was running hard in that game. And not that he wasn't before, but I think you saw more in that game. It gave me more confidence to say that you can give him an inch now and he can take it a long way. Where before, I thought he needed a pretty big opening to use that speed in the open field. I came away just feeling more confident that he's a more complete runner in week 13 than he was in week one, which naturally is he's a redshirt sophomore getting the longest look of his career this season. So I think naturally he was going to make a big progression from week one to now.
And I do think he made himself some money. I don't think it will be this year. And I think another aspect to this, and I'll go back to Pat Freiermuth, who didn't know if he would be eligible or not. So I don't think he even had the NFL on his mind.
Yeah.
So when it came to him, his mindset, I think, was still returning. I believe the same thing is going on with Journey Brown. He wasn't thinking about playing on Sundays yet.
Right.
So I don't believe he'll be looking for that until next year.
But I do think that Penn State's got a a potential star on his hands. And a guy who I don't think the 2020 draft, but I think maybe 2021 as a redshirt junior, he could have eligibility to return. But this is what Penn State wants, I think, especially when you're recruiting so many guys at that running back spot. I don't think you really want your top back coming back for a fifth year. In a perfect world, Jawan Sider and Dwight Gault will be able to take what they churn out on the recruiting front and develop it into guys who can leave early for the NFL.
Agreed. All right. Next up is our buddy Mike from Harrisburg. Mike asks, I see the new offensive coordinator has a lot of quarterback and receiver coaching experience. How can he use this experience to enhance Penn State's young receivers and Penn State's overall pass attack?
I think, number one, play calling experience of any kind is good. Like Ricky Ronnie has had has diverse experience, and that includes, I think, going back to his early days in coaching. He was coaching defensive linemen. You know, he coached tight ends for a bit. He coached quarterbacks. He was a coordinator at Penn State, but he didn't have a lot of play calling experience. And we were just talking about this off air. I do believe that sometimes he was trying to will it with his own smarts rather than just saying, this is who we are as an offense. This is what we're going to do. And I think as much as anything, Kirk Ciarrocca coming from Minnesota, being comfortable in his own skin, knowing what his identity is as a play caller is going to be a real asset, because you're able to use simple concepts to let really good playmakers do their thing. And I think there were a lot of really good playmakers over the course of the past two seasons who didn't really have the full platform to use those abilities to their most. You know, obviously at Minnesota, 2 1,000-yard receivers. He leaned on Rashad Bateman. He leaned on Tyler Johnson. What you saw was a real symbiotic relationship with Tanner Morgan, where he was getting the most out of Tanner Morgan. And Sean Clifford, I think you can say, has at least as much physical ability as a quarterback as Tanner Morgan. So the exciting thing, I think, is to see coordinator and quarterback on the same page, to see simple concepts that they can use and make minor adjustments to those concepts. I think Penn State is going to be in a better position to know what its identity is on offense. I don't think we've known that since Joe Moore had left. Who are they and what are they trying to do? I think Kirk Ciarrocca is going to come in with a good idea of who they are, what they're trying to do, and make some subtle adjustments based on what the other defense is doing, as opposed to trying to change the entire approach based on what the defense is doing. I think his experience, his sort of proven track record to make the most out of his quarterback, and his track record of getting the most out of his wide receivers, all these are factors in that. And I think he's going to be a big asset for where they're at. I think the passing attack is going to be a more consistent, more simplified approach, and I think it's going to be more effective.
And starting out with a solid offensive line doesn't hurt either.
And a running game that what's going to be interesting is to see his strengths as a play caller in the passing game, how he's going to mesh that with Penn State's known strength with the depth and talent at running back.
Okay, Rob from Wall, New Jersey says, Dustin, do you ever get a sense that Penn State plays up or down to their opponent? Watching them this year, I thought their only complete game was against Maryland.
I mean, I think for a four-quarter, 60-minute game, that was. Whether playing up or down, I just think they were battling their own consistency in some of these games. So it might be true that some of these games didn't have the same energy. Like, you know, I thought Buffalo, for example, was uniquely positioned to give them, a few problems early in the year. And I thought, you know, Buffalo's gave some other teams problems too, with an experienced offensive line and a good running game and a good identity. They knew what they were trying to do against, and they weren't scared of Penn State. So I thought that, as much as anything, I wouldn't say up or down to competition. I just think that, you know, they played a lot of 30-minute games.
And it wasn't just Buffalo, but if you think about the Pitt game,
yeah,
obviously the Rutgers game, even with Clifford out and some of the other guys, it should not have been as close as it was. And I think saying inconsistency was a factor in that, I believe is true. All right, next question is Jared from Pittsburgh. It's been talked about that Franklin and Penn State don't have the same kind of money to pay assistants as Southeast Conference, Michigan, Ohio State. Why doesn't it? Penn State's in the Big Ten, gets the same amount of TV money and bowl money as Ohio State and Michigan. They sell out 107,000-seat stadium. Why doesn't Penn State have the same money to pay assistants?
I have no idea, but it's a dynamic that James Franklin has been clear about. And all those times where where we kind of complain that he uses a reporter's question as a springboard into his own agenda, this was one case where I'm okay with that. I'm okay with you leveraging your position as a visible leader of a program to call attention to the fact that, we don't have, elite of elite facilities. We don't have an elite salary pool to pay assistants. And these are things that James Franklin has been pushing and working to try and change, using his platform to do it. So I don't know why that is. And I also don't know with the new extension that James Franklin signed, if that dynamic is changing going into the future. I don't know what they're paying Kirk Ciarrocca just yet, but you got an experienced play caller. So I would imagine that he was able to fight and get a little bit more there. But I think it's a game of inches for Penn State. I think James Franklin is trying to get little by little all the pieces lined up to make incremental changes to the facilities. It could just be like that All-America wall, for example. It's all about incremental upgrades for Penn State now rather than a big cannonball into that pool.
And I think they're coming from further back during the Paterno years.
It's no secret.
Joe didn't make much in salary. His coaches have been there for 1,000 years, weren't a threat to leave where you had to bid higher for them. So it's a change in culture in that way.
And you think about budgets are built a lot based on what was the previous year or previous years. You don't often see radical changes. Now, a recruiting budget changed quite a bit, but it had to.
All right. Let's sneak one last one in. Sure. Mike from Hoboken. He predicted that Ricky Slade would be hitting the portal. I don't know if that's the case, but his concern is that Ricky Slade and Shorter, who were 2 5-star recruits, didn't live up to their billing. Is this more a development issue or a portal issue? I don't think it's a portal issue.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes, 5 stars just aren't going to. And maybe there's no responsibility to assign to that. Or maybe the responsibility goes to everyone. Maybe responsibility goes to the recruiting services for making those players out to be better than what they are. Maybe they didn't develop them well enough. Maybe they didn't acclimate their games well enough. Maybe they didn't learn. Maybe the mental part didn't come. Maybe they've been so good for so long against inferior competition, they haven't. It's a big culture shock, and maybe not all 5 stars adjust. I don't really look at it as an indictment on anybody. I think it's just kind of a natural part of things.
And it might just take a little bit more time.
Absolutely.
We saw Mike Gesicki struggle. I keep using him as an example on a lot of things.
Miles Sanders, too. You know, was another one. I'm going to go to the duel. I like the Journey Brown question, whether he made himself some money. So I don't know whether we can send 2 polo shirts out. I'm going to put you in a position where you have to.
So we now have 2 winners. Thanks, Dustin.
Steve from Huntington Valley, Brad from Doylestown. I would give more winners if I could. So congratulations to those guys. We're moving on for now. Jeff Brown joins us to talk Penn State hoops in just a moment.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Looking for the perfect Christmas gift for the Penn State fan in your life? Then you have to go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out the Tailgate Christmas Gift Box, filled with their famous sauces and rubs and even a Tailgate Club apron. All in a gift box shipped directly to you. And for a 10% discount, be sure to use code KSN on checkout. That's 409tailgateclub.com. And don't forget to use the code KSN on checkout for a 10% discount.